Calling All Moms. Explore a world of knowledge and inspiration on the University of Phoenix YouTube channel. Elevate your skills, explore new career paths, and balance family life with flexible learning. Join a supportive community of like-minded moms and empower yourself with valuable insights. Subscribe now at youtube.com/University of Phoenix. We believe in empowering moms to achieve their educational dreams. So this morning, getting the kids to school was all on me. My husband is not here today. He's at a work event. We got 5 little kids. 4 of them are in school. And there was so much for me to do before 8 a.m., before I could get back to my desk and record this voiceover for our podcast. And I thought about and kind of laughed at all the roles that I played this morning. I was a nursing mother. I have a 9-month-old. I'm still nursing him throughout the night. I'm up multiple times a night feeding the baby. I'm also a logistics coordinator. One of my sons wanted to get up at 6 a.m. because he didn't finish his homework, so I had to set a special alarm just for him. But he also has an injured ankle, so I had to make sure he also had his crutches and his boot to get around the house. I was a family therapist. There was a conflict between 2 of my kids, and I was helping to talk them through their issues. I was a nutritionist. One of my children really struggles to eat and put on weight, and so kind of brainstorming, how can I get him enough calories before school starts? I was the rememberer of all things. I don't know about you, there are so many emails from the school, and every week it feels like there's a different thing that I need to remember, whether it's the stuffed animal, the special outfit day, the money they need for the book fair, all of which happened this week. Definitely a driver, getting the kids into the car. We don't have a bus, so I have to drive them to and from school. Mothers play so many roles in our families, in our cultures, in our societies. And I laugh, sometimes I cry thinking about how many of those roles I play even before 8 a.m. Dads play these roles too. And we need more of dads and men and fathers and broader culture and society around mothers to take on more of these roles. I mean, that's what a healthy society does. But the reality is, the research and the data show that mothers are primarily the ones who play this role in our families and in our culture. And I think it's important to recognize it, to celebrate it, and to put some quantifiable data and research around it, because A, we need to give ourselves credit for all of the many roles that we play, and we need to be recognized and supported in these roles, because society wouldn't function without what we do. In fact, I think it's time to start centering on the lived experiences of mothers and really demand a recognition that the work that we do here is the critical work. And today's conversation is super interesting and meaningful because it actually starts to put some numbers behind those unseen roles that we play as mothers and the things that it takes us to get to work, to advance in our careers and our professions, and to reach our dreams. Hey, Mama, welcome to the Motherly Podcast, where we have honest conversations about modern motherhood. I am Liz Tennedy. I'm a co-founder here at Motherly. I'm also a mom of 5 myself. Today's guest is Ruth Valoria. Ruth is Chief Strategy and Customer Officer at the University of Phoenix. She's also a mom of 4. In our conversation, we talk all about the new University of Phoenix Career Institute's first annual Mothers Overcome More report, the Mom Report, that the university launched in partnership with Motherly. This report takes a look at the very specific barriers that moms face when it comes to building careers, and the support that we really need to become and maintain that self-sufficiency. Given that the majority of University of Phoenix students identify as female, care for dependents at home, and are single parents, this study could not be more relevant. And Ruth also talks about her own journey as a working mother. Ruth Valoria, welcome to the Motherly Podcast.
Great to be here. Love to share my story.
Ruth, what surprised you the most about becoming a mother?
Wow, that's interesting. I guess how much time all the children take up, honestly. I have 4 kids and my kids have all been athletes. So I've been on the sidelines for years and years. I mean, since they were 4 and 5 years old, and now I have my youngest is 17. And so, you know, I think like many moms, I'm going through that part of my life where I'm transitioning to being empty nester. And it's been so much time that I need to go back and make some new hobbies for myself, because it's been such an investment in my own time. And we've loved it. I mean, loved every minute of being there. But that's the next thing I need to do.
That is so interesting. And I'm happy to hear you say that sports and your kids, you know, extracurricular lives was something that you enjoyed, because I'm just starting that journey myself. My oldest, who just started to get into sports. Now I have this third shift in my day, which is pretty complicated.
At one point in our life, we had 4 soccer players all in different practices. And literally, my husband was a huge help. I mean, he had a spreadsheet. He knew who needed to be dropped off where, who needed to be picked off where. We always really had a nanny who was at least driving people. I would have a shift, he would have a shift, and the nanny would have shifts, and we tried to put as much on her as possible. We always paid our nannies for gas because there was so much driving around that we had to be doing. So it was a lot of logistics, and he was a huge help. He put all that together on the spreadsheet, and that was a godsend for me, honestly. Yeah.
Okay, got it. I need a spreadsheet, because that would be a big upgrade for me. Speaking of like organization and preparation, do you feel like you were prepared for becoming a mother?
That's an interesting question. I mean, we definitely felt like we wanted to have kids. Caitlin really was a pretty easy baby. She was the first one that we had. And then eventually we turned up with these twins. And that was a big adjustment, doing all of that, not getting as much sleep. That was a little bit a harder journey, I will confess. And then we ended up with this surprise 4th baby at the very end. And then, you know, you got to do the zone defense. There's no one-on-one by the time you get to that point. I love having the 4 kids now because it's fun. I'm excited to have my kids home from college this weekend or the next couple more weekends in Thanksgiving, and just have the energy back in the house, have the family all together. So we definitely entertain each other. So I'm really excited to have them all back.
Well, it's good to hear you say that, because I need to think of that future state sometimes to get through the really challenging days. I'm curious how you, as this incredibly accomplished and ambitious woman, managed and evolved through the demands of working motherhood. What was it about you that needed to change, evolve, or your support systems around you to make that all possible?
I mean, definitely support systems were key. I started out with just the one child. We had people come to the house who took care of her. And then actually, I went over to work for Charles Schwab and Company. And one of the gentlemen who hired me, he was the head of strategy, he would do this. He would take people away from the Boston Consulting Group where I was and say, we will adjust your pay. We'll have you work 4 days a week, but you'll have this one day off. And so it was a good transition for me out of the high-paced consulting into more of a quote-unquote industry job. And I worked for him in strategy. I only had to work the 4 days a week. And I had a bond with people who were at my hospital. So we had a breastfeeding group. We had 4 or 5, some of whom were friends with me from business school, some of which were people that we met there in the hospital. We'd pick a new play date every Friday. And so having that group where we could ask each other questions, I was never alone with that. And so having that group was a really good transition in. And, you know, we've been friends forever. And so, yeah, never being alone, always having a support system, having a husband who, you know, definitely shared a lot of the activities that we needed to do, again, with the spreadsheet or, you know, I mean, he's the kind of guy who does the dishwasher. I don't know if you have one of those husbands that likes to organize and stack the dishwasher. I didn't have to do that because he wanted to get that right. So, you know, just being able to pitch in, he even does the laundry and stuff today. So dividing and conquering has been big.
Your youngest is now 17. As you look back on your journey of working motherhood, I'm curious how the skills that you acquired as a mother and running your family, how did that shape and help your career?
Well, I think that probably from some of the mistakes I made with my kids, holding people accountable is a good skill to have in the workplace. Perhaps feeling a little bit guilty about being away at work. I felt like maybe I let some of my kids slip on that. And so now having chores, doing responsible things. Those are all lessons that you learn sometimes because you didn't necessarily apply them correctly, but now you recognize, wow, there's a lot of rules in the business life that actually do also apply in that working life. How do I set goals? How do I inspire people? Do I have a son who really wants to go to college, or am I basically projecting onto him that he really wants to go to college? How do you get that motivation out of people? How do you inspire and get people to engage in the tasks that you're on? These are all, I think, you know, the psychology of getting people to come to work, to show up at work, have goals, set goals. These are, I mean, just practical business lessons that I learned at home that really totally apply in the business world.
Yeah, and I think it's time to shift the conversation, not just what does motherhood take away from your career, but also how motherhood can reshape and inspire and educate you in your career in surprising ways. I know I've certainly found that to be true myself. Tell us about your current role at the University of Phoenix.
So I'm in charge of our strategy. So really thinking ahead about the investments that we want to make. What are those things that will improve the student journey? I'm very much about the student journey. We work hard to get our students to graduation. And so all about making them successful is a lot about what I do.
So the University of Phoenix and Motherly are preparing to launch our first Mothers Overcome More report, the MOM, M-O-M report. Do you mind sharing how this partnership and the MOM report came about?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, at the end of the day, we're a university for working adults, and we are all about students gaining career mobility by taking a better job, kind of getting more advanced in their careers. And so we especially, though, care about moms, because 71% of our students are female. 63% are actually caring for a dependent at home, whether that's kids or an older a family member. And actually, we even have 59% that are single parents. So because of that overlap in how do we help moms, that kind of spurred us to think about how can we learn more? How can we learn more about moms, about the individual challenges that they would have, the specific barriers that they might face, even the skills that we were just talking about, the skills they learn at moms, all the supports they need to have and maintain self-sufficiency. And so, you know, that was why we really wanted to merge these two things together, because we care so deeply about moms. They are our core student.
Now that we have the study here, we've done the research, were there any like particularly surprising findings that came out of it?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there are some typical findings, and then there are some more interesting ones. Now, we see that moms, of course, are suffering with three things that are often barriers. They are often struggling more financially than the average worker, and that is leaving them feeling overwhelmed, and often to make ends meet, they have to take on additional jobs. And so, not surprisingly, we've got burnout at higher rates than the workforce average. And yet, you know, because of their need for stability, that's why those moms engage more deeply. They're less likely to quit a job without having another one lined up. Many moms, regardless of income, feel that being a working mother has held them back in their career. That's, you know, that can be a big problem. This is our core student. We don't want our students to feel held back in our career. And so, you know, circling back around, typically we have affordable childcare. We have we recognized skills in motherhood not valued? And thirdly, do we have any role models? Often our students think that a career is a luxury. So we could go, you know, more deeply into those three things, but that three primary barriers are often in the way: affordable childcare, skills being valued, and no role models so that your career feels like a luxury.
Let's start with the first, affordable childcare. What does the report show about the need for affordable childcare? Because listen, all of our listeners are aware they're living this issue day to day, but getting to see it in the data is really powerful. So what did that report show?
Yeah, so it says that 59% of our lower income working moms, especially those with children between 0 to 5 years, they're spending more than 30% of their paycheck on childcare needs. That's compared to 48% of lower income moms with children 6 to 10 years old. So it's a little bit lower for those children that are older, but more than 30% of the paycheck. So that's obviously a huge gap. And we've got to really, you know, figure out how to solve for that. When my mom was growing up, it was all about getting good childcare for me too. That's how I was able to get my good education. So, you know, those workplaces where there are opportunities for people to bring their kids to school, to have backup coverage, as an example, that's a huge dent in the paycheck that we really do have to take care of that.
Yes, that sounds very familiar, as does the second point, which is that mothers find that their skills, the skills specifically that they've acquired through motherhood, aren't appropriately valued. And I think this is such an interesting and rich finding. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's almost 90% of those lower income moms are saying today that being a mother is not applicable in the workplace. So yeah, we know that a ton of these skills, as we were talking about earlier, are highly transferable and applicable to the workplace. So it's not just skills you're getting through your education, which is one thing, but skills you're getting through practical experience.
For example, we're talking about things like logistics and human management and what kinds of things?
Yeah, scheduling and planning. Again, knowing who's on first. Have we assigned accountability properly? How are we procuring, whether it's procuring food, working out when to plan to do that, how to put kids into games, get through all of those types of ideas. And again, those human skills about motivating, exciting people about getting to the end game, being on a team. How do you reflect on when the team went badly? You're doing all of that. As a mom, those are all extremely applicable when you're talking about motivating people in the workplace as well.
Anything people can do to value that more within themselves or maybe articulate the value that they're bringing to the workplace?
You know, honestly, I do think it is about storytelling. A lot of it is about, okay, have I actually reflected on those transferable skills and how do I put that into practice? And we've done some work where we're looking at work experience that we have today, but not necessarily practical at home skills. I think looking at skills that are in job descriptions and saying to myself, okay, how do I reflect on what I actually have? How can I storytell about what it was that I did to do that? I don't think people are actually, you know, not willing to take those on. It's just that we don't think to even do it.
And our culture hasn't valued and centered the work that mothers do. And this is an opportunity through this research and actions to follow to recognize the strength of mothers. Okay, let's get into the third one around role models. What did the report find?
So what the research says is almost 1 in 5 working moms report that they're having more than one job. So, you know, career is a luxury. When you're doing 2 jobs, the chances that you're able to really excel and go deep in those when you're rushing off to do another job is going to be more difficult. And for 65% of our lower income working moms, having a career just sounds like a luxury. 64% really believe a career is out of reach. And most of those, over half of those lower income moms, say they just don't have role models with careers. That's 53% in the lower income moms. It's about 38% in the middle household income moms. So, you know, it's a little bit different, but especially when you're in that lower income mom, how do I have a role model? How do I have a coach, a support, an advocate that brings me along in the workplace? As we all know, whether it's moms or the diverse groups, when we don't have role models that we aspire to, it can be really hard to feel, yes, I can fit in. I can do what others have been asked to do and just have confidence. Confidence is a lot of what it's about. And seeing those is obviously a huge impact when it's having role models versus not.
Hey, moms, it's time to elevate your career from the comfort of home. Tune into the University of Phoenix YouTube channel to hear faculty share insights from their careers and answer questions in our Thought Leadership series. Explore the research happening at the university, enjoy day in the life videos of real University of Phoenix students, and learn about exciting career and education opportunities. Subscribe now at youtube.com/University of Phoenix. So, part of transforming society is having knowledge, having the data, because with that knowledge, we can start to storytell, we can spread that information, and we can begin to change the culture. Knowing what you found around the insights and the struggles that working moms go through, the self-perception and the impediments to advancing in their careers, What do you want listeners to know about what it takes to succeed in career development and living and thriving as an ambitious mom?
Yeah, I'd say perhaps every person comes to this with some kind of personal story about what they've been taught by others. And we know a lot about our research that says having that social capital, having the background, again, whether it's the role model or others, they're really teaching you the story. And what actually happened for me was that my mom, her husband died when I was just 2 years old. And she just really taught me through just her own aspirations that she said, just never be financially dependent upon anyone but yourself. And so essentially, I took that to heart. She certainly had to have childcare to work. She figured out how to do that. I was fortunate. I was able to get the education I needed. I set my heart upon a college degree. I went ahead and I got that, got started in a career, went on a few years later to get my master's degree, which certainly made a huge difference for me in what was open to me. And it's almost like full circle. My mom actually taught middle schoolers. She went to school to be a teacher for that age group. And it kind of seems appropriate in some ways that I continue the tradition, helping to educate adults. And today, most of what I'm focusing is on degrees or some other practical certificate education. But it has come full circle. And that's why I feel particularly passionate about what I'm doing, is because she just set this impression upon me, you want to aspire to not be financially dependent. And I think sometimes people don't hear that. Maybe they think, well, I can be dependent on my mom to settle, my dad to settle the bank account, my husband to settle the bank account. But I think you just have to not settle for that. You just need to say, I will be financially independent. And of course, you can always partner with your husband. You're going to get lots of great things done. I'm sure lots of partners do that. But you just need to set, I think, that goal for yourself.
You work with so many people who have great goals for their lives. And as you pointed out, many of them working moms, single moms. What about the journey of those mothers inspires you?
Well, there's just so many struggles that I see people go through, and the grit and determination of those moms is just really impressive. Every 6 months, we have a panel come in that will tell the stories of what they're going through. There's so many people with cancer who are struggling through, that are taking a break but then coming back. There could be parents that they're taking care of. It could be kids that are going through difficult times, that they're doing all of that, juggling that, and then going back to school. So there's just a lot of grit and determination. It takes that, you know, honestly, to be a University of Phoenix graduate, you've got to juggle a lot of things. It's so rewarding when we see the students walk across the stage, which obviously I'm helping out, give out certificates in a lot of them, because what we're seeing is the kids congratulating the parents. In my case, I went to my oldest daughter's graduation. I'm there congratulating the kid. But when the kids are congratulating the parents, it's just really wonderful. And it's because there are so many barriers, whether it is the childcare, whether it is balancing everything, whether it's taking care of sick people. It's like a triple extra determination to finish a University of Phoenix degree. And so those are really what we're very proud of, that what our students do pull off.
You are describing an incredibly resilient person, these working moms, chief among them. Knowing that the University of Phoenix works closely with employers to support the professional development among their workforce, what do you think employers need to know about these insights from this study about the working moms on their teams?
Yeah, I mean, look, we have to recognize what those barriers are, having people just know what those persistent barriers are. First is awareness, right? Be aware. 29% of our lower income moms need to take off work monthly for childcare or personal reasons. So that really does emphasize the value that is often inherent in having paid time off. I think we know, looking back at the COVID epidemic, there were many, many jobs did not have paid time off or had very restricted paid time off. So how do you make a workplace welcoming by making sure there is proper paid time off is key to them. And in fact, what's interesting is because of that flexibility, that need for flexibility, most working moms agree that the resources that are offered to them with this kind of flexibility are actually as important as a wage or a salary when considering a job. Roughly half say they would actually even work at a lower salary. If resources to assist working mothers, whether that's on-site childcare, paid parental leave, were offered. And so, you know, despite satisfactions with quite a few of those benefits, increased schedule flexibility and paid time off really are the things that would most help moms in balancing work and their responsibilities as a mother.
So part of it is knowledge and equipping those with power. How is the University of Phoenix working to address some of these barriers?
Well, I mean, first of all, we're helping students tell their stories. We're trying to make sure that they can get into the types of jobs that would allow them to have these types of flexibilities. We have this pretty cool thing that we do where we've listed out all the courses that you're going to go through. We've kind of documented each of the key skills that you're going to get in these courses. And so we're helping people storytell. At the University of Phoenix, you can get skills in just a few weeks, not necessarily waiting until you finish a degree. So that's a lot about what we're doing is we're trying to give people the skills early and often. Kind of you can keep progressing your degree in months and maybe advance your job even further. So what we're trying to do first is put students into those positions where they can have that extra flexibility. So, you know, that's a lot about what we're committed to doing is just educating so people know they can look at the careers, they can see the type of skills people would want, they can see the type of skills that might be the things they could lean on in motherhood. And of course, we partner with other organizations where we can look specifically about the types of solutions we can do supporting working mothers on their career progression. And we'll keep working on that. We'll keep researching. We'll keep looking to share more on that in the coming months.
Working moms, all moms, are so resilient. What do you want our listeners to know about the resilience that it takes to thrive, regardless of where you are in your career? Because mothers have to manage so much. And I think it's important to hear, to be validated and seen in the burdens that they have on their shoulders. So what do you want moms to know about their resilience as you kind of reflect on what came through in the report?
Yeah, I mean, there is so much. There's so much of what we have going on in the mom's life that we're perhaps not properly recognizing. So I just want to give a shout out to moms and say, hey, listen, you have a lot of those great skills. You can learn some more things and you can apply those in many, many different ways in your workplace. And even if, you know, moving into a job is not the right thing for you to do now, just know that you are, you know, definitely building those skills up and you can keep telling the stories about what you want to do. I mean, even I was meeting with some moms I had, they're just the same age as me, who took some time out. These are moms who took quite a bit of time. They've worked in internet companies. I mean, they've had MBAs. I mean, these are very, very resilient people, but even they feel like they've been left behind. So taking a break can often be very difficult. Even people who are very successful can feel behind. So you really do have to build up your confidence, tell those stories. And, you know, that's the best way, I think, to keep moving forward.
And it's also about rewriting the narrative, right? That the work of motherhood, the sacrifices that we all make, they don't detract from who you are at work or who you are as a human being, right? In fact, you can look at the data and see the strength that comes out of it. And I think we just happen to live in a culture that has devalued those skills and that sacrifice in a lot of ways. It's almost helping people to turn that on its head and especially seeing the metrics on how powerful, how motivated, how accomplished so many moms are helps to shift the narrative as well.
Yeah, exactly. Tons that you've learned through being a mother and many ways to move that forward. But you do have to have that self-confidence, that determination, that ability to believe that you can succeed. And again, those role models also really important to say, this can be done. And, you know, setting your eyes on who can mentor you, who can give you that guidance can often be really important as well.
You have described this generations of mothers who are incredibly resilient, right? Developing their careers, managing their families, pushing through, aspiring for more. I know the women in my family have done that, and I know that has inspired me. But you also identified the risk of burnout. What is that thing that we as moms can do, or what is it that society can do for us and around us so that we can be as strong as we need to be to accomplish all the things we want to accomplish and that need to get done without pushing us to that point of burnout?
Yes, it is an interesting question. You know, I have said that I loved the sports. I did amazingly with all of that. But, you know, my mom was a knitter. She knitted beautiful Aran sweaters for me and read a ton of books. And that was how she took her mind off of things. And so I do feel like I want to commit to doing some new hobbies. But right now, I take stress out by going to the gym and making sure I get enough sleep. Those are two really basic things. And it maybe doesn't sound that interesting or exciting, but I think those are some of the basics.
I love that. There's a quote that I'm not sure whose quote it is, but it was like, if you don't have time to meditate, you need to meditate twice as long. And I've just remember that almost on a daily basis as a mom. Like today, I'm not feeling well. I have a cold. Shocker. My kids picked up another cold at preschool. And I know now I need the care, the sleep, the good food, the healthy food, the hydration more now to help recover for what's next. And that idea of like, for the people who don't have it, who don't have time to meditate, you need twice as much meditation. That is a tension, a paradox. Like, I don't know how to fix that. But even just being aware of that need, especially in really demanding times, I think can help give us the permission that we need to take that time for ourselves, or also to ask for it, or hopefully others as well pitch in and do their part. That's the hope, at least. Okay, so Ruth, at Motherly, we believe that motherhood brings out our superpowers. And I like to define that as not that mothers are superhuman, but that in my own experience and many of the guests that I've had on, you know, that motherhood has brought out aspects of themselves that are incredibly powerful and wise and intuitive. And often these are things that we didn't know about ourselves before we became mothers. So what do you see as your superpower?
Wow, that's a great question. I feel like my mind is going at a million miles an hour. I think people talk a lot about that, right? We're on a treadmill. We've got 1,000 different things processing through our brain. But yet somehow when I take that over to work, I come across as extremely calm. So I don't know exactly what I'm doing over there, but I've been able to process all of that. And I feel like I do well in balancing different arguments across different groups, just taking all the information in, trying to sort it out, try to compartmentalize it. And so, you know, I think often people might come to me and ask to choose between two different problems, two different options. And because I can analyze that, I'm usually pretty good at giving an objective and calm point of view. And that's probably a lot of what's helped propel me in my career, even although maybe my mind is whirring 1,000 miles an hour. It's somehow I've counterbalanced that.
I love that answer. I love that it plays to all the data that you've pulled in this big project that we've done together and helped clarify and crystallize some of those insights. I'm also kind of laughing because navigating differences of opinion, I did that, you know, with my three kids in the kitchen this morning who were arguing about who did what. So it definitely sounds like a professional superpower as well as a motherhood superpower. Thanks for sharing. Ruth Valoria, thank you so much for joining us on the Motherly Podcast.
You're very welcome.
Well, that's it for our episode this week. Thank you so much, Ruth. And thank you to tuning in and listening to our podcast. We will be back next week with another amazing guest. You don't want to miss it. As always, we would love it if you spread the word about the Motherly Podcast. So if you can right now, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Leaving a review takes no more than 30 seconds, but it really helps other people discover our show. And I read all of your feedback. The Motherly Podcast is produced by Jennifer Bassett, with audio editing from Joel Edinburgh. Our associate producer is Olivia Henriksen. Our music is from the Blue Dot Sessions. I'm your host, Liz Tennedy. Thank you so much for listening.